I don't know about you, but certainly in the news, it seems like you can find a story every so often about a judge's decision or about the impact that legislation that has passed is going to have in your life. And all this is supposed to be based on the founding issues that were given to us more than 200 years ago in the creation of this nation. We're going to talk a bit about these ideas with a professor of Bible and theology, and you're going to say, well, why is he going to talk about the American Constitution? Well, it's because he's written a book. Dr. Andy Woods is our guest, and he has written a book recently published called Darwin, Evolution, and the American Constitution. I'm not sure from the title I would get the connection. I always think of Darwin as being something I would read about in my biology class, and the professors would maybe argue that we evolved and were not created. How did you couple that with the American Constitution?
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Henry Morse, who I think is a Houstonian or was a Houstonian, who's started the Institute for Creation Research, he wrote a book back in the 1980s called The Long War Against God. And that book really fascinated me because it showed how evolution is not just a biological idea, but it's a worldview. And it's behind a lot of the anti-God isms of our day, like Marxism and, you know, other things. And so he had maybe about 2 to 3 pages on the legal system. And I thought, this is very interesting. I think I can connect the dots on this, you know, having gone through a legal education. And basically the whole idea of evolution is man is moving upward. I mean, he started from the goo to the zoo to you, as the saying goes. And the evolutionary process hasn't stopped, according to this theory. It keeps right on going upward. So how does the Constitution relate to that? Well, we can't have a Constitution that anchors us to the 18th century. You know, that's an under-evolved era. So the function of a judge is to keep reinterpreting the document over and over again to keeping up with the upward ascent of man. And I believe that has brought some horrific consequences to our culture. But the chapter on that just tries to connect the dots on that between biology and legal theory.
Okay. And there's much more in the book, which is called Darwin, Evolution, and the American Constitution. Dr. Andy Woods, our guest today. And why in the world did you stop all the things that you do? You're a pastor. You're a professor. You have your own personal life with family. Why would you stop and take time to write this book? I know you had a fascination, but to sit down and do all the research you did.
Well, one of the, you know, I think God puts different burdens on our hearts for different things. And I've, over the last several years, have been very burdened over the direction of our country. It just seems like no matter what party is in there, you get this aggressive direction away from what the country was originally set up to be. And so since I have some legal training, that's something that has been bothering me. And we express our burdens different ways. Some people go to prayer. That's probably the best thing to do. But I have gone to prayer about it. But one of the things that God, I think, impressed upon me is to, you know, express in written form my thoughts. And so a lot of it, I believe, is a burden God has given me about the direction of our nation.
Well, this is his first book, but I know you've written a number of papers before, and this now has been put together and is published through Schofield Ministries. If you'd like more information about this book, Darwin, Evolution, and the American Constitution, you can actually go to a website for details. That's how many things are distributed nowadays, or at least you can find more information. Bestmen.org, www.bestmen.org. And the best actually stands for a ministry that you're a part of.
Yeah, that's a not-for-profit ministry I started, which is really to propagate research to the public and specifically the Christian community. But it stands for Bible Exposition and Systematic Theology Ministries, the B, Bible, E, Exposition, S, Systematic, T, Theology.
So you're not saying that you're the best ministry
around there? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. But that's sort of the expertise God has given me at the College of Biblical Studies. And so why not take some of those truths, you know, that I'm working at in the classroom and make it available to the body of Christ at large.
You've mentioned a couple of times now that you have a legal background. So for those who don't know, I know that you were an attorney before you became a professor of Bible and theology. Let's step back even further. When did you come to know Christ as your Savior, and how did he lead you into where you are now?
Well, I became a Christian about 1983, spring of 1983 and stumbled into a home Bible study that a friend of mine invited me to.
Was this college, high school?
This would be sophomore year in high school. And I praise the Lord that he invited me. And who knows where I'd be today had that not happened. Only God knows. But
And I'm thinking in my own mind that a sophomore in high school would be very disinterested in attending a Bible school, a Bible study.
Yeah, because I was a religious person, trained, you know, raised in sort of a religious environment. But as far as being born spiritually, those types of things, I knew nothing about. But, wow, I heard the gospel. And you know what? I believed it. And my life started to change, you know, from that point onward. So from there, I went through college. I was always wanting to go into law. And so I just kind of took my Christian experience with me into the legal system, saw things I liked, saw things I didn't like. And kind of over time, I was teaching a Bible study at a Baptist church, and the pastor retired. And this church was so small, they couldn't afford a full-time pastor. And so they asked me to be their interim pastor. So there I was practicing law, and I was the interim pastor of this little church. And as I got into the Word of God, I enjoyed that type of ministry. But I started to figure out I didn't know enough about the Bible. One of the elderly ladies in the congregation, and you have to really listen when elderly women in the Lord speak to you. She said, "Can you teach a Bible study on Ezekiel?" And I thought, oh, sure, no problem. I'll just read a little bit about Ezekiel and crank that right out. And lo and behold, I got into the book of Ezekiel, and it scared the daylights out of me. I didn't know what to do with that book, I mean, particularly the first three chapters. So God started to use that to prompt me for my need for more theological training. By then, I'd met my wife, Ann, and we uprooted and went to the best seminary that we knew of, Dallas Theological Seminary, and stayed there, got my master's in 2002, stayed around for my PhD, got that in 2009, and got a job offer out here at the College of Biblical Studies, and that's kind of the story and how I ended up here.
All right. And a story of how he's a professor of Bible and theology, but also has a law degree. And I must say that your law degree comes through throughout the book as you go through systematically. That's probably the first thing. But then secondly, as you cite a lot of sources, and I know most of the lawyers in cases that you have to present before a judge or before a jury have to cite cases or cite other things. Why all the research? What were you trying to point out here?
Well, I think people think a lawyer and a pastor is like an oxymoron. They don't go together. And, you know, people like giggle and laugh, you know, when I tell them what I do. But the funny thing is, if you go back in church history and you start to look at the combination, it actually fits. I could name several people that had law in their background. One of them is Martin Luther, the great church reformer that we revere. Another one would be John Calvin, had some legal education. People might know the name John Nelson Darby, who basically recovered the doctrine of the pre-tribulational rapture from the scriptures. So the idea of systematic thinking, logically thinking, you know, logically being able to set out a case. I mean, the legal background has helped me a lot in that, particularly, as you mentioned, citing sources. I mean, my goodness, you read Paul and what he writes in Romans. Look at all of the sources that he cites. And so actually the two realms of thought go together, and most people wouldn't connect it in that way, but they actually fit.
And it proves your case that the American Constitution and the Bible were not juxtaposed. They were actually there was a synergy there.
Right. And one of the big things I bring out in the book is what we call a biblical anthropology or a doctrine of man. And, you know, we as Christians believe man is fallen. And if we didn't believe that, we wouldn't be holding out Christ as the solution. I mean, there's no sense in having a solution if you don't have a problem. And I believe that our founders were steeped very strongly in that biblical anthropology, that doctrine of man. And so they, you know, one of the things they struggled with was the issue of sin. they said, look, we've got to have a government that's strong enough to restrain man's sin nature, but it's got to be weak enough so that the people that are running the government or administering the government don't become tyrannical with their power.
You know, which they had seen.
Which they had seen, of course. Right. And they had multiple examples of it historically. And, you know, Lord Acton said power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So they divided power up. And unless our founders had had that biblical worldview, the whole division of powers makes little sense.
Or the legislative, executive,
legislative, executive, judicial. You know, a private business person would never set up their business that way. It's a terribly inefficient system. But Federalist Paper number 51, I believe it was Madison, says, what is government but the greatest reflections of human nature? And in that particular treatment, he begins to talk about how the fallen nature of man, the outworking of it, is the need to divide power up. So those are some of the issues that we bring up in the book.
Okay, and there are a number of chapters, including The Big Lie, the idea of the so-called separation of church and state, the impact of Darwinian evolution upon modern thinking and upon how it's taking our nation away from the foundations that the original founding fathers had in their minds in setting up our government. It's all available in a book called Darwin, Evolution and the American Constitution. We thought you might be interested in it and learn more about it. Bestmen.org is a website that has more information about obtaining the book. Bestmen.org is a great website to go to and find out the details. You know, there's a lot to handle. And by the way, this book also has a couple of chapters written by a friend of yours, Mal Couch, and it's about the Second Coming, which has also been in the news lately, and so it's appropriate to have that as part of your book as well.
Right. Well, these sections, you know, go together very well. When man's system fails, God will bring forth his system. You know, we believe as premillennialists, you know, the idea that Christ comes back first before the millennium, that man, you know, the best he can do is sort of hold back things in terms of the progress of evil, but there is coming a kingdom one day that will cover the face of the earth where there will be perfect righteousness. We see so much unrighteousness and injustice, but that time in history is coming, and so we as Christians are really flaming optimists even as we see our own culture drift away. As Hal Lindsey said in a book back in the 1970s, there's a better world coming.
The purpose of the book is not only to inform. I mean, is there hope? I mean, can our nation come back to the founding fathers' goal and desire as far as how they set up the Constitution and the way it was supposed to be?
Mm-hmm. Well, with God, all things are possible. And I think it's Hosea chapter 4. I want to say verse 6. Don't have my Bible in front of me, but around verse 6, it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And one of the reasons that we're drifting so far away from our foundation is simply because we don't know enough about how God played a role in the foundation of our country. And I believe if we as believers understood that a little bit better, we could be a little bit more assertive in terms of our role in public life. But if we're deceived into thinking that Christians have no place in public life, and that our Constitution was the product of atheists or deists, what's the incentive to get involved?
So those are issues that you discuss in the book itself, so you can get some information as well on the founding fathers and who they really were. Our guest today, Dr. Andy Woods, he is a professor of Bible and theology at the College of Biblical Study, pastor of Sugar Land Bible Church, and our guest today on KHCB. A closing thought, I know that there was a psalm you used as far as the theme of the book. What do you want us to remember as we...
Well, one of the verses I like to use when I sign copies of books for people is Proverbs 14:34, which says, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And we in this country have enjoyed a very unique window in our 200-plus years of existence where we've enjoyed economic and political freedom, and we didn't get those things by accident. We got those things because of a biblical foundation. And so we really can't expect these blessings that we have, that we celebrate around the 4th of July, to continue denying God his rightful place not only in our own lives, but in public life. So God is the solution to our nation's problems, and we need to go back to Him.
All right. Dr. Andy Woods, our guest today, Darwin, Evolution, and the American Constitution. For more information, the website, bestmen.org. Godspeed as you continue to serve. Thanks, Andy. Sure appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
You're tuned to Christian Radio, keeping Him close by.